This morning, we join the recording and production of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast in progress.
Because when I'm doing it, it's like a black cloud descends over me, and I don't know what I'm saying until you pull me out of it at the end of the episode, or I say to you, okay, that's all I've got.
That's all I've got to say. And then you're back with reality.
And then Mary always goes, well, how did it go? And I always say, I don't know. I won't know until Randy posts the episode and I force you to listen to it.
I blacked out.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. It's like my vision darkens and I can't hear things. And all I'm doing is concentrating on saying words that I'm hoping the audience doesn't object to too much.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, you know, let's say hi to the audience.
My granny's truck had a gear named after her. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that crushes other Medicare podcasts like the bugs they are. Sometimes he wishes he was a Sky Marshal, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Doug, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing very nicely. Did we get to hear my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, do his thing today or not?
Yes, we did. We're starting out a little bit different this morning because I'm going to try to patch in some of our ultra interesting banter that we have beforehand.
Yeah, some of it more interesting than others. Last episode, we talked about guillotines and how one might determine whether a person who has been guillotined is still alive for some period of time afterwards. And I think we figured out the method to use is to pull his to before he gets his head chopped off, to give him instructions about closing his eyes and then pull his head out of the basket, hang him by the hair, and say, all right, you know, I'm going to ask you the questions that I told you I was going to ask and see if they blink.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's been done in the past, certainly not recently, because the last guillotine.
Probably illegal.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be true. But now here's your fun fact for the day about guillotining. What was the last country in the world to consider guillotining as a method of capital punishment?
Well, I'm guessing it's the United States because, frankly, everybody's given us difficulty over all the other methods we use.
Well, compared to guillotining, what we use is a walk in the park. France. France was the last country in the world to use it.
Ironically, they were the first also, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And the guy that invented it didn't turn out so well for him either.
Hey, buddy, you invented this thing. Let's try it out on you.
And what was the year of the last beheading by guillotine in France?
I'm going to guess in the 20th century sometime.
It was.
19 something or other.
It was.
Could it have been in the 1950s?
You're close. It was 1962.
Oh, okay.
They decided that they needed to do something different. Even though it was in private, they wanted to have their executions more transparent and hiding away in a dungeon someplace and cutting somebody's head off didn't fill their requirement for transparency.
I see. Well, I was thinking it would be in the era of movie Papillon. You know, you like the movie. Yeah. You realize that those Frenchies are a bunch of bastards when it comes to treating people miserably. They send them off to the mosquito-infested South American jungles. They might as well just hack their heads off right there because those guys
will be a lot easier.
Yeah, and, you know, save them the passage on that tramp steamer they were on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so go ahead.
Heard from Drew. I've checked off all the boxes, the important things, except I did not fill out one of my little checklist sheets today. So I'm going to have to do that in arrears.
I really depend on those things. So I'm just winging it today.
Yeah, well, me too. And I think the audience is going to sense that. Except for my matter, my subject matter today for today's episode is from the Americans for, what is it? It's the Association of Mature American Conservatives. I think it's AMAC. It's a conservative organization that's kind of like a competitor to ARP. Only these guys are not politically on the left. They're politically on the right. But I've got a friend who hands me stacks of their magazines. They had put out a monthly magazine. And I did find an article in the last stack that I thought might be interesting for people approaching Medicare. And once you get your insurance, your Medicare enrollment, your drug plan, once you get all of that stuff arranged that I specialize in helping you with, then there are other things about Medicare that you may overlook without a reminder. So I'm reading from an article entitled, Are You Getting the Most from Your Medicare Coverage? Now, this was, I believe, in their issue last August. It says 08 of 2020. So I think that's when this magazine issue came out. So all this stuff should be fairly current and fairly accurate. So the article starts out, once you enroll in Medicare, there are a number of excellent benefits and perks available to you. From using your preventive care options to diet and exercise counseling, well, there's something I'm never going to do. Here are a few ways you can get the absolute most from your Medicare coverage. So it says, do your Welcome to Medicare preventive visit. That's like step one. There is a Welcome to Medicare visit during which you can yak at a doctor and they can tell you what you're doing wrong and set you on the right path. Getting back to the article, it says, during the first 12 months in which you have Medicare Part B, you get one Welcome to Medicare preventive visit with your doctor. It costs nothing, no copay, no coinsurance, no deductible. So why not take advantage of it? During this doctor visit, you can expect a thorough review of your medical and social history. I'm not sure I want my social history out there. In any event,
social history. Yeah. What in the world are we doing?
I don't know. Do you go out to dinner frequently? Do you hold your little finger in the air when you go to a tea party? I guess it's stuff like that. Do you know how to curtsy? I don't know what they might ask about for your social history. Anyway, if your doctor ends up performing any extra tests or services during this visit, you will only be responsible for your Part B deductible or coinsurance for that stuff. Number two, get your flu shot. Protect yourself against the flu. During the regular flu season, Medicare Part B covers a flu shot. There's no charge for it, no copay, no coinsurance or deductible. If you have any chronic illnesses, including heart, lung, or kidney diseases, or a weak immune system, you're at a higher risk of flu complications. If you're vaccinated and still get the flu, the vaccine can reduce the severity of your illness. While we should all protect ourselves and others from the flu, be sure to take extra precautions if you're at higher risk for complications. Number three, sign up for a My Medicare account. Register for a MyMedicare.gov account to get instant access to all of your medical information. Instead of waiting months for an explanation of benefits, and it does take a long time between the time you show up at a doctor's office and the time you actually see what happened to the doctor's charges. It takes months. So that's what makes trying to keep everything straight with Medicare accounting so confusing, because you've really kind of forgotten sometimes what transpired 3, 4, 5 months ago. And you get a piece of paper that says, well, here's what you did. And sometimes it looks like it might be bogus. I always wonder if they're trying to overcharge me. But after years of watching my mother's accounts very carefully, I came to the conclusion it really wasn't worth my time to spend a lot of time auditing mine or anybody else's Medicare expenditures and reimbursements. But anyway, back to the article here. Sign up for one of these My Medicare .gov accounts, and then you will be able to see your explanations of benefits online and no more waiting. The info shows up in your account as soon as the provider and Medicare update their system. Of course, it's the government, so who knows how rapidly that's going to happen. In your My Medicare account, you can also do these exciting things. You can view information about your current coverage. You can check your enrollment status. Well, once you're enrolled, I don't know what could happen to your enrollment status. You can view Medicare claims. You can download your Medicare data to an Excel spreadsheet using the blue button. Apparently, there's a blue button there. You can download your on-the-go report, a summary of all your health information that you can take with you to doctor's visits when you travel. You can view your current Part D drug plan. That sounds exciting. You can keep a list of your current prescription drugs, which can be used when comparing drug plans during the enrollment period in the fall. Okay, this is kind of an important thing because we agents used to use the government website, Medicare.gov, to pick out the cheapest available drug plan. And typically this happens in the fall during AEP, annual enrollment period. And I have to get a list of drugs from a client. I have to go to the website. I type in all the information on the drugs, which is very time consuming. And I type in the places they like to go to get their prescriptions filled, and then eventually wind up with a list of drug plans. Sometimes there are 30 drug plans available in a given area. And to do all of that for every client, which should be kind of looked at every year, is really time consuming. So I've had to ask people to go do it themselves. In our books, Randy and I have put the visible pictures, the screenshots that you will see if you go to that website and do this work yourself. And you're the best one to do it because you know what drugs you're taking. So if it says, I don't know what this drug is, you go back and look at your little bottle and say, uh-oh, I forgot to put these two letters after it or something, you know, and correct the mistake. However, you cannot anymore save your list of drugs. We used to be able to do that, but the federal government won't let its website keep your list of drugs for us to use in the future. We have to start all over again. The only way that list can be retained is if you start one of these MyMedicare.gov accounts using your own login and everything else. You can keep your drug list, and it might change a little bit during the course of the year. It's a matter of pushing a few buttons that will allow you to make sure that the drug plan that I sold you last year is going to be the most cost-effective drug plan for you in the following year. And so while I will do it, I'll be happy to do it for people. It's really a time waster in many respects. And so it's best for you to do it yourself using the instructions in, I think, chapter 11 of the 2021 Medicare for the Lazy Man book. So anyway, next heading is use your annual wellness exam. Medicare covers the wellness exam. Medicare covers one wellness exam per year. Again, there are no copays, coinsurance, or deductibles required. The visit is completely free. Similar to the Welcome to Medicare visit, which you can use within your first 12 months of being on Medicare Part B, the wellness exam includes a health assessment, a checklist of preventive screenings, and your typical health checks, like blood pressure and weight. Even if you're reasonably healthy, medical experts explain that it's essential to stay in touch with your doctor on at least an annual basis. I don't think that means stay in touch. I think that means go see him if you can. Consider Medicare's weight loss coverage. Before you get too excited, Medicare will only pay for weight loss programs under a few specific conditions. If weight loss is a necessary part of treatment for diseases like diabetes, hypothyroidism, and cardiovascular disease. Ha, that's a laugh. I have hypothyroidism. My thyroid just quit working, and I started losing weight like a banshee. People thought I was like the walking dead, but nobody told me. So I lost about 20 pounds without knowing why. I just thought, okay, well, there goes my beer belly. I better work harder.
What's happening to Doug? Yeah, he's a shadow of his former self.
It was exactly the reverse of what's supposed to happen when you have hypothyroidism. It flummoxed everybody. And I was down to my high school fighting weight of 140 pounds, but I was many inches shorter then, too.
We better take some beer over to Doug's house. Yeah. He's losing weight like crazy, and some chips.
Here, drink up, Doug. Gee, I wish that would happen again. Anyway, if the doctor says you need to lose weight before surgery to reduce complications, that's another reason that Medicare might kick in for some of your weight loss therapy. So if you qualify for weight loss coverage, you get access to health counseling, diet and exercise education, maintenance visits to monitor your progress, and up to 3 hours of individual counseling services in the first year. So I don't know, what do you do there? Don't eat so much, and then let's play some cards. We get 3 hours to kill.
I signed up for that weight loss thing, you know, because I'm on Medicare. Yeah. And I signed up and I logged in, and there was a video I got to watch.
Cool.
And there was this guy came on and he goes, here's the skinny. Don't eat as much.
Well, there you go. That's a short video, I bet, right? Close your pie hole once in a while. Push that.
That's right. Quit eating cake.
Push the chair back in the table and you'll lose weight like crazy. Well, anyway, now it says get preventive screenings. There's all kinds of stuff you can do that Medicare pays for. This is if you have Part B. Medicare Part B covers 20 different preventive screenings. And I should have given a checklist to Randy so that he could check off the ones that he's had. Abdominal aortic aneurysm. That's right up at the top. I guess it's because it's alphabetical. You must get a referral from a doctor before you have that screening. Alcohol misuse screenings and counseling. Yeah, I don't want to misuse my alcohol. I want to use it properly. And so
I think you can get one of those up at the chip.
Well, I've been there and, you know,
buddy, you've had way too much. Leave.
They never ask me for my Medicare ID card when I'm at the chip.
No, they don't.
Bone mass measurements for bone density, cardiovascular disease screenings, cardiovascular disease behavioral therapy. Hey, this is hard on your heart. Don't do it. Cervical and vaginal cancer screenings. I don't think I'm going to qualify for any of that. Colorectal cancer screenings. Depression screenings. Why are you depressed, sir? Well, I can't get enough alcohol. Diabetes screenings.
Nobody will talk to me. Here, stay on the phone, buddy. Let's tell stories.
I'm going to lay the phone down for a minute. You stay right there.
Okay, so this is an actual real thing that happened, you know, during my rehab for Wuhan flu. Uh-huh. One of the nurses actually, as a fight for my depression, even though I didn't have any, she recommended we open more windows in the house. Let more sun in because that would help my depression. And I said, I'm not depressed. And she goes, well, if you had some, it would help.
Well, that's going to give your cleaning ladies a lot more dust to chase around, too, I imagine, if they ever show up.
They show up. It's just hard to predict when. It's just a particular day they're expected.
Aha. Uh-huh. So they have that day pegged out. It's just how soon they're going to get there.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice of that nurse to worry about your mental well-being, I suppose. It's like somebody told her, okay, tell depressed people this. So they go around looking for depressed people.
Yeah. There was a bunch of little mental quizzes I had to take, as I told you earlier, you know, and we're not allowed to help you.
Yeah. Okay. And it was the same questions over and over again. You think eventually you get it right just by osmosis.
They keep asking you the same things just to see if you improved.
It's like Groundhog Day. Yeah. Well, I'm going to try something different today. I'm going to answer no to all your questions. Will you let me go home then? So anyway, we got diabetes screenings, diabetes self-management training, EKG screening, glaucoma tests, hepatitis C screening tests, HIV screening, lung cancer screening, mammogram screening, nutritional therapy services, obesity screenings, and counseling. I would think you're going to know if you're obese. Prostate cancer screenings and sexually transmitted infectious screening and counseling. These are covered in full by Medicare, and your doctor will typically let you know if you need to take advantage of NAM during your annual exam. I don't want my doctor knowing that much about me, to tell you the truth. I don't.
That's way too much information.
I'd rather maintain an arm's length relationship with him.
Oh, if they're going to start talking about that, I'm going to be more than an arm's length.
Get me out of here.
Get my 10-foot pole.
So we've only got two sections left here. We're sneaking up on the end of this article and the end of this episode. Second to the last section here is review your Part D drug plan every year. And I heartily endorse that. If your drugs have changed, in other words, you've got a different prescription or a new prescription or something like that, it's entirely possible that you're going to be paying more money out of pocket the following year because everything happens as of January 1st. So if you've got a drug plan and you come up, into November, and you haven't reviewed your drug plan to make sure that as of January 1st, it's still the least expensive one for you, then you should do that. Because there's a huge, giant, kind of highly thought of insurance company. They're thought of highly in that they're financially sound. I don't think of them as highly because they do all kinds of weird stuff. What they did one year was that everybody that was in their lowest priced drug plan, they forced them into their highest priced drug plan and did a bunch of prestidigitation January 1st. So the people that did not review their drug plan to make sure they had the cost effective one for them, woke up January 1st and they were suddenly paying $56 a month instead of in the neighborhood of $20 a month. And then they were stuck because unless you have a good excuse, you're stuck with your drug plan all year long. So what happened was I had to get my poop together and contact all of my clients and say, we have to revise your drugs, go to a different plan that's a lot cheaper because your company, their plan that you're on now is going to turn into a hugely expensive one on January 1st. So I had to explain it and recalculate for everybody. It was so time consuming. And eventually I got all of my clients, except for a couple of hangers on that didn't really care about cost. I got them switched to a new company that I contracted with. And lo and behold, what happened the year after that? That new company was costing my clients about $15 rather than, the original company would have been $56. I got them into a new company that was actually less than they had been paying. So they're paying about $15, $16. And then lo and behold, here came a drug plan that only charges $7. Oh, so I got to change everybody again, at least the people who aren't taking any drugs yet, or the people who are taking certain drugs, but I had to check with everybody to see if they wanted to change drug carriers to a $7 a month drug plan. So you could, miss those savings if you don't check your drug plan once a year. So I hardly endorse that. Medicare's Plan Finder tool makes it easy to compare drug plans based on cost, coverage, and benefits. That's crapola. It's difficult, and it's a counterintuitive website. It's interesting that you can plug stuff into that website and come up with reliable results, but it's a lot more awkward than they're leading us to believe in this Pollyanna article. So anyway, let's see, blah blah blah. Plan Finder, which is what they refer to that, it now works on your phone or tablet in addition to your computer. I can barely handle it on the computer. I don't think I'm going to be using my phone anytime soon for this. You can typically only make changes to your Part D drug plan during the Medicare enrollment period from October 15th to December 7th. I believe I just mentioned that. If you don't make sure that you're in the right drug plan for the following year by December 7th, you're screwed, buddy. You're stuck with the wrong plan for all of the following year. And that's not a good thing. So pay a little bit of attention. And I always suggest having a cold cocktail while you're doing that. And if you're smart or lucky or don't take too many drugs, you're going to be finished with the cocktail you're going to be finished with the plan selection process before you're finished with your cocktail. So the last section in this article is take advantage of expanded telemedicine services. This is what I love. I don't really want to go see a doctor. I don't want to be in the same room with any doctors if I don't have to be. It always winds up either costing money or hurting or, you know, being embarrassing. So the article goes on to say, as part of President Trump's response to the COVID-19 public health emergency, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, that's CMS, that's the government agency that cannot spell its own acronym, should be CMMS, but they dropped an M off somewhere, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So they've expanded access to telehealth services for Medicare beneficiaries. That's what they call you people on Medicare, your beneficiaries now. You can now receive a wider range of health services without having to leave your home. These visits are considered to be the same as in-person visits and are paid at the same rate as regular in-person visits. That means your doctor doesn't have to leave home either. So you two can sit and yak at each other in your underwear and somebody gets a bill and Medicare winds up paying it. The taxpayers pay it. So starting March 6, 2020, and for the duration of the COVID-19 public health emergency, Medicare will make payment for professional services furnished to beneficiaries in all areas of the country in all settings. And the reason they're saying that is this service used to be limited to like Indian reservations and Appalachia, you know, where in coal country, where it was tough for people to get out. And so what they would do is they'd have to leave home. They'd force them to leave home, but they would go to a local, like a senior center or something like that. And Medicare would then pay for telemedicine services, but they wouldn't let them do it out of their homes. What's changed is Medicare will now pay for you to have a telemedicine virtual visit with your doctor or some doctor while you're still in your home, in your PJs, if you desire to not get dressed on that day. So another paragraph here, while they must generally travel to or be located in certain types of originating sites, such as a physician's office, skilled nursing facility, or a hospital for the visit, effective for services starting March 6, 2020, and for the duration of the COVID health thing, Medicare will make payment for telehealth services furnished with the benefit. Oh, that's like the same thing. It's just a longer way to say the same thing the prior paragraph said. So to heck with that. Medicare coinsurance and deductible would generally apply to these services. However, the HHS Office of the Inspector General is providing flexibility for healthcare providers to reduce or waive cost sharing for telehealth visits paid by the federal healthcare programs. For more information on your newly expanded telemedicine coverage, visit www.cms.gov. Medicare offers excellent benefits for a relatively low price. You've paid into the Medicare program for many years. Take advantage of the health coverage you've earned. Okay, so that is the stuff that you can get for free when you get on Medicare. Pretty exciting stuff, huh?
It was. I had this. It kept me awake. I will admit, Doug, it kept me awake. But it also, something else popped into my head when you were discussing telemedicine.
What's that?
This isn't directly related to telemedicine, but it's in the same genre as teleservices. Uh-huh. I saw on the internet yesterday or the day before that a surgeon had to make an appearance in court for some particular reason. I don't know whether he was giving testimony or what he was doing, but he had to show up in court for one reason or another. And at the time that he was scheduled to appear, and apparently it was a very important appearance, he also had an emergency surgery show up. So he gave his testimony over Zoom while he was operating on this poor sucker.
Oh my God. That seems like a conflict of interest somewhere.
That seems like a, you know, what would that be? That would be a, some sort of a suit.
Yeah. I would think that lawyers are taking notes. What's that doctor's name?
It was on the internet. Yeah. I'm going, holy cow. Every lawyer. Oh, well, he didn't make it. No, I'm teasing. I don't know about that. But anyway, every ambulance chaser in the world is going to be after that one.
Absolutely. Well, I was horrified by a video that was sent to me by a friend. It was like 1 minute long, but basically, and I don't know, it wasn't in the United States, because in the operating room was a television screen, and they were working on some guy. It was nurses and at least one doctor, and they were all looking at the screen, and then they all jumped up and down, started screaming and cheering, and what they were watching was a soccer game.
And, oh yeah, yeah. I just knew where you were going with that.
So that's why I knew it wasn't in the United States, because we don't watch soccer here, and we certainly don't get excited about it.
Nor do we. They call it football. We're totally wrong, but you know.
Yeah, well, screw them. Who's the World War champ, huh? Who's the back-to-back World War champ?
Oh, I know. I get it.
And so the other interesting thing about your commentary is the fact that you actually stayed awake during my recitation of all the free and important things that you can do with Medicare.
I know. It's well, I have to admit, you know, being a recent user of various aspects of Medicare, I got to tell you, for a government program, I'm very impressed. I mean, literally this thing, when I got out of the hospital, or when they let me out of the hospital, let me put it that way. Everything was lined up. It went through the process just slicker than snot on a doorknob.
Well, that's very good, and it can only continue. But I'll tell you, what they did with Obamacare for people under 65, they would dearly love to do with Medicare for All, which is force everybody into the same system, overload the system, and then the only way they can keep a handle on the budget every year is to ration the care and limit your participation or your access to the kind of care you need. And that's what happens in Canada. Every province has their own health care system. And if a province has spent too much money in the prior year, they say, okay, well, we'll just cut back on the number of MRI machines we'll make available to people. And I swear to God, my sister had to have labor induced on Christmas Day 1 year because there was no delivery room access. And my brother had to bribe an MRI. He was practically paralyzed with back pain. He had to bribe an MRI operator with a bottle of Wild Turkey, and he went in on a holiday. And,
it's not funny. I mean, it is fun. It's sadly funny.
It's ridiculous. And frankly, my brother-in-law has watched it happen because he grew up in a home. His mother was a medical doctor. His father was a medical doctor. All of his aunts and uncles were medical doctors. They had a big clinic in Ontario, and the government just came in and said, okay, you are now wage slaves. You know, we're going to mail you a paycheck. And it was the beginning of an unfortunate era in Canadian medicine and politics.
So you're a bit of a historian. When did the Canadian health industry or healthcare program, whatever you want to call it, system. Yep. When did the Canadian healthcare system go public?
There was, to my recollection, there was no one date. It's the various provinces started doing their own healthcare programs at different times, like in the 1950s and the 1960s. And eventually the Canadian Parliament decided, okay, we're going to do the same thing in every province. We're going to make it a single payer system, but it's still broken down by provinces. So some provinces started earlier than others. I get the impression it was the ones out west, you know, with a lot of like ice road trucker type stuff.
Yeah.
It was tough to get to real doctors. And, you know, there was a Canadian folk singer who would stomp his boot on a piece of wood to keep time with his guitar playing. And his name was Stompin' Tom Connors. He had a song about a doctor and a nurse who had to fly out in a rickety single wing airplane to go to Indian villages and remote camps in the Yukon Territory. And this plane crashed. It's the Martin Hartwell story is the name of that song. And this guy and the nurse, well, I guess the nurse was killed in the crash, but he had some patients on board and appendectomy that they were taken to a hospital and stuff. So I think that maybe their single payer system serves some purposes for people in remote locations to get them better medical treatment. But to make that pay off, they had to force all of their citizens into their various provincial health systems. So it was in the 1960s, 1970s, I'm guessing, when they really got it fired up.
And it's only getting better, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why there's a robust insurance market that Canadians buy insurance in case they need treatment. They can come to the States and their insurance policies will pay for it.
If they want any real care, exactly. Buy one of these.
Exactly. 50,000 Canadians come to the United States every year to get stuff treated. And there aren't that many Canadians. I think it's a healthy proportion of them.
Well, that I got to tell you, Doug, every time we do one of these podcasts, I love the stuff that you teach us. It's interesting. I'm a bit of a historian myself, and that kind of stuff, just I love that kind of stuff. The story behind the story.
Well, you're making me blush now, but I'm glad you enjoy it. I'm hoping the audience feels the same way, and we probably ought to let them go.
They've been very patient. Yes, no, yeah. No one has caused a ruckus. We haven't had to ask anybody to leave the premises. They have all very patiently listened to Doug for about 32 and a half minutes.
They've been much better than my own children ever were, so that's good.
32 and a half minutes, the anti-insurance guy, Doug Jones from Oklahoma, the Oklahoma kid who asked his father when he was a child for Christmas, please, Daddy, can I have a pad of insurance applications?
He was making tons of money with them. I wanted to also.
Well, we have had a blast of a time today, Doug.
If you want to contact us, where do we go? We go to dbj@mlmmailbag.com.
So do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go order yourself up. If you're anywhere close to Medicare, get yourself a Medicare supplement policy. Go to amazon.com. Get yourself a bag load of books, and you will be well fixed for the future.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you, Randy, for surviving to live another day. Now that sounds a little dark. Thanks for joining me another time.
You're absolutely welcome. I enjoy the heck out of it. Bye-bye.